This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. So I'm headed home a little early today. As it turns out, apparently something decided it was going to rip its way through. Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. All right. Apparently something decided it was going to rip its way through Hayden's kindergarten class, and there were several kids that started throwing up. And in fact, one of the teachers started throwing up, so we don't know if it's some kind of food poisoning or if there's just something going around or who knows. But needless to say, the school called Dustin. He's in paramedic training. My wife went to pick up Aiden, and so I'm headed back home to relocate at home and pop open the laptop there and finish out the day working. So it's midday, but life is good and God is kind and all is well. Things seem to be going fine with the writing. I'm actually on track this week with my words, and I'm up over 125,000 words, and I normally go to about 150. I seem to be on track for that. And I've got four more weeks because I'm not even in February yet. So that's about 2.5 weeks worth of writing. So that should be fine. We're good there. Costumes are going fine. I'm still working on Tell a Fairy Tale Day. I've rearranged the physical costume itself, but I'm still working on my little puppet stage, and that all seems to be going fine. So life is good, one step at a time. And just gonna go back home, and if it is a touch of food poisoning, I imagine Aiden will be a little lethargic. If it's some kind of flu bug going around, I imagine Aiden will be a little lethargic, and the whole plan now will be to not catch it. So obviously you can't catch food poisoning, but even like a little stomach flu or something, it's fluids based, so just as long as you make sure you're careful about the fluids, don't get coughed on, it'll be fine. So God is good. We're just finishing up at work with the start of year things, so we're going to see if we can't get most of those finished up today and get that taken care of. At some point here, we'll need to run expenses for the month, but that'll probably happen on Monday, and then the push will be to try to get closed by Friday. I think they're going to try to get closed on Friday, so we'll see. And then the plan is to go on vacation the next week, so I've been talking to my daughter about taking over my responsibilities with Aiden that week. There'll be two work days there, Monday and Friday. Next week it'll just be Wednesday, so she has kindly agreed to do that, and we'll just see how this all works out. So, life is interesting. Had a conversation this week with one of the workers at headquarters, young lady, and we were revisiting what we had talked about the week before that. And that is the question that I always ask myself in all these situations: in 50,000 years, what difference is it gonna make? So we'll just do what we need to do and focus on the things that will make a difference in 50,000 years and not sweat the small stuff. So life is good. Life is good. I am going to have to peel off as soon as I get home, so I might as well just launch into topic. I came across an interview that Jordan Peterson did with Dr. Simone Gold. These stories are just so amazing. They are so amazing. And I was listening to Tucker Carlson interview Matt Taibbi, who was, of course, one of the reporters who was brought in for the Twitter files, and, you know, was an excellent reporter, very focused, very balanced, trying to just get to the truth of things. And so Tucker Carlson was interviewing Matt Taibbi, and Matt Taibbi is convinced that investigative journalism is just going to see a huge surge over the coming 4 years because there is so much to investigate. And they were going over his list of things that he really wanted to know. Like, what exactly happened with the presidency in the last 4 years? Who was really in charge? Who's making the decisions? Who decided that Biden had to drop out of the race? Because he wasn't Biden. Because just the week before, he was saying how he wasn't going to drop out of the race. So, a lot of interesting things there. And it's going to be interesting to see how much comes to light. And if he gets any kind of a foothold, or if people will just shrug and go on. Because the capacity, our capacity for false information, our capacity just to parrot anything that makes us mad, in my experience, it doesn't seem like it's ever been higher. Now, if you go back in time to when the only papers were rag journalism papers that were owned by political parties, and they were constantly slandering. They were constantly slandering everyone around them who wasn't a part of the party. You know, maybe this isn't that big of a deal. They said that Ben Franklin, like, he owned like a dozen papers, and they would take different viewpoints, and, you know, he just got to sell a lot of papers that way, because he just published these incendiary things, and then there would be rebuttals and people. You know, so maybe this isn't new. Maybe it's just what is. And this is the nature of humans, and anytime they find a way to communicate with each other, the flesh corrupts those communications, and everything goes downhill. Maybe. But it is fascinating to hear some of these stories and think, what in the world? So Dr. Simone Gold has a really interesting story. She studied to be a physician, emergency room doctor. At the same time, in the midst of it, kind of moving back and forth, she studied to be a lawyer. And so she has some very interesting reflections on doctors, on the differences between doctors and lawyers. So if you look up Jordan Peterson's podcast and find the one with Simone Gold, there's some really interesting things to hear there. But suffice it to say, she is both an emergency room physician and a lawyer. Okay, great. So she's doing well, respected by her patients, life is going along good, everything's good. And then COVID comes along. And in her words, she said, I was excited about this. She said, you know, and I'm an emergency room doctor. It's my job to figure things out. And so she said, I'm reading everything I can read. And I'm going back in and checking and reading up on SARS and see what was effective against SARS. And she said she comes across, and she said, I'm trying to get other doctors interested in it. And yet many of the doctors that she tries to talk to about these things, they are not interested at all in this stuff. They're not interested. They, you know, coronavirus 19, it's a new virus and it's novel and we don't know. And so we don't know what we're going to do. And she was just like, I was doing research and I figured out early on, okay, this is a derivative of a SARS virus. So we had dealt with SARS-1. This is SARS-2. It's about 60% the same. chances are hydroxychloroquine is going to be good against this. And so she said, I'm telling doctors, listen, this isn't no problem. We'll just start them on hydroxychloroquine. And she said, in fact, I had seen other people had tried hydroxychloroquine. It seemed to be effective against the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And so she said, I'm telling everybody we're fine. No big deal. She said, and then President Trump comes out and endorses SARS-CoV-2 or hydroxychloroquine as a potential solution. And she said the backlash, she just couldn't believe the backlash in the media about how hydroxychloroquine is dangerous. And she said, I'm looking at this like hydroxychloroquine is not dangerous. We've used it for years. And she said, I'm talking to my fellow doctors and all of a sudden they're starting to parrot this thing. Well, you know, hydroxychloroquine is very dangerous. And she says, I'm telling them it's not dangerous. You know it's not dangerous. You know, why are you lying? And then, of course, comes the article in The Lancet where supposedly tens of thousands of people in hospitals all around the world were given hydroxychloroquine and the results were just disastrous. Until someone says, wait a minute, COVID hasn't been out that long. How in the world are tens of thousands of people in hospitals being given hydroxychloroquine? And the publisher is asked to produce the numbers. There's no numbers. And The Lancet, one of the most respected journals in the UK, has to take the story down. But no one highlights the fact that the story is taken down. Everyone in the media just keeps saying hydroxychloroquine is dangerous. And she's just flabbergasted. She's like, what in the world? She said, and then the shots come out. And she already knows, you know, that this should be optional because there's other treatments available. She already knows that the emergency authorization that was put through on false pretenses. And she's looking down the road and she's seeing mandates coming for getting these shots. And she decides that she's going to put all her energy behind trying to stop the mandates coming through. And oh, by the way, by this point, she's been speaking out about hydroxychloroquine. And so she's had her license pulled. I think it's at this point. Or maybe it's when she starts speaking out against mandates. But anyway, somewhere in there, she gets fired from her jobs. Her license gets pulled, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But she's going around giving talks and people are giving her money for giving talks. And so she's like, I'm working on this. I'm going to dedicate full time. Okay. So, in all of that, she is talking about medical safety and those types of things. And in 2021, she organizes a rally at the Capitol, gets a permit for it, et cetera, sets everything up. It happens to be on January the 6th. So she is in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol with a permit to speak, stage set up, the whole bit, on January the 6th. And she said at the last minute, she said, the Capitol Police come and tell me, well, you can't speak. And she said, there's no sound system there, there's no... And she said, I have a permit. No, you can't speak. And so she said, we're standing around. And she said, the crowd keeps getting larger and larger. And nothing's happening. The crowd just keeps growing. And she said, I finally decide, you know what? Okay, I'm getting up there and I'm talking to them about medical safety. So she gets up on the platform and starts talking to them about medical safety. And she said, I only spoke for a couple of minutes. She said, because every minute that went by, there were like 1,000 more people that were coming in. And she said, no one could hear me. And so she's sitting there trying to make a point about medical safety and this, that. And then the crowd starts surging. And she said, you can see it on the videotape. They literally pushed her back into the doors on the Capitol. And then the door opens behind her. And she tumbles inside and kind of picks herself up, and now she's inside the Capitol with all these other people just wandering around. And she thinks, well, okay. And so she starts wandering around. And she thinks, as long as I'm here, and I've got a bullhorn, someone gave her a bullhorn, I might as well give my speech. And so she starts giving her speech inside the Capitol and gives it a couple of times inside the Capitol. And then everybody's kind of leaving, so she leaves. She gets up the next morning in her hotel room, and her phone is just blowing up. Because there's pictures of her with a bullhorn inside the Capitol building. And she's like, wanted. And she, I don't know if it was that day or the next day, she said, I found out I'm on the FBI's most wanted list. And she said, I'm trying to tell people, it's not an insurrection. We were just wandering around inside the Capitol. And she said, no one, you know, of course, no one will listen to her. So then she keeps talking about medical safety because this issue is still there. And eventually, like 3 weeks later, she said, I'm sitting in my house. And she said, I'm at my computer. And she said, suddenly this yelling and hollering, FBI, FBI, FBI. And she said, and then they kick my door in. And she said, I'm thinking if they were the FBI, they would have called me. They kick my door in. And 20 guys in full riot gear, weapons, swinging their weapons around with laser sights in my house, come in. And she said, I'm not the type of person that panics. And she said, I'm just thinking, oh, this is strange. So then they arrest her, perp walk her out. They don't let her take anything. They take her laptop, they take her phones, they take everything. She eventually plea bargains to a misdemeanor of trespassing because she said they had these felony charges on there, and I absolutely didn't want a felony charge. And then the judge, instead of just giving her a reprimand, and the judge actually knew her and would not recuse himself, but she said there was just hate pouring out of this judge toward me. She said he sentences me to 60 days in prison for a misdemeanor. And then they escalate the charge and they committed her to a maximum security prison. So she spent her 60 days, good portion of it in solitary confinement. And she said, but you know, I survived. And then she came out, she's writing a book, you know. And she's been traveling around giving talks and things about her experiences and what happened to her. But you know, you hear these stories and it's like, what is going on? And it's obvious that this stuff was being blown out of proportion and that people were being made an example of. And, you know, this is just prosecution by persecution. It's just crazy stuff. And that was at the beginning of the Biden presidency. And to hear tell of some other stories, everything just got worse from there. So this is going to be fascinating. I'm checking my mail, which has not arrived yet. And this is going to be fascinating to see how many of these stories come out, how much of these documentation is available, and to put together some type of history as to how close we were to another 4 years of this kind of twisting the truth, grabbing people, accusing them, prosecuting them. I mean, really, this is third world banana republic type stuff. You know, and obviously, we don't know exactly everything that's going to happen with the present administration. And maybe there will be some unfortunate stuff there as well. But we already know where things were going with the Biden administration. And we already know that Biden wasn't actually in charge. And we already know that if Kamala Harris had been elected, she wouldn't have been in charge either. So, yeah. I mean, when you hear these stories, and it won't be the last of the stories that are coming out, undeniably, we dodged a bullet. And we'll just see what we've walked into besides that. So, I am back home. I gotta go. This is Phil Ferrand,
and I have made it.